Cowan has a chance to have the lead all to himself if this goes in, and it does. The amateur is leading the way here at the U.S. Open on a Thursday afternoon.
My experience following professional golf is that's probably it.
Nice.
Give him the trophy.
It's an 83 incoming tomorrow.
Ryder Cowan. I don't want this to reflect at all. I hope nobody even would think this badly on Brian because of how much not only do we like Brian and respect him, but how much he knows. Will he know who this guy is? Ryder Cowan. Pressure's on.
I'm going to predict that Brian has seen him play at the Porter Cup.
That's a great call. Is he named for the Ryder Cup? A golfer by the name of Ryder?
Let's let Brian.
All right, Brian.
Let's let Brian.
What have you got?
Okay. Here we go. No official world ranking because he's an amateur. He is a senior at Oklahoma, and he went through the two stages of qualifying in order to get in. He made it, and here he is, and a perfect front nine for him so far. No bogeys. Really impressive. And I can't tell you if he is named after the Ryder.
Well done. Good enough. Passing grade.
But you did not see him play in Niagara Falls.
No follow-ups on Ryder Cowan, please.
Fine. It's fair. You don't deserve even... it was rude to ask you the first question. So he is the leader of the U.S. Open. -3 through 10 holes. What kind of day has it been? It's not exactly a non-event today, but, you know, everybody's just sort of... Well, not everybody. What's the lead story today so far?
I think it's playing exactly how probably the USGA wants it, right? You've got leaderboards that are super tight and not that many guys that are under par. And, you know, I don't think I'm not rooting against Ryder Cowan here, but maybe he's at some point going to have a blip bump or two here coming in. And, there's, you know, maybe he will be or won't be, but it could be an interesting day one story. But yeah, not a lot of players under par. I think that's exactly how the USGA wants it. Today was the day. If there was going to be any sort of severe wind conditions that maybe got out of hand or people would have said unfair or along those lines where maybe the pin placements, you know, guys are hitting perfect shots and all of a sudden the ball just keeps rolling. Today they were most concerned about the wind today. This is the predicted heaviest gust. So the fact that maybe they're going to get through today with no issues, I'm guessing the people that are running the tournament with the USGA are probably breathing a big sigh of relief. Okay, we move on. And it's playing out kind of how we want. I think there's been birdies out there. So I think that's been fun. I am never one that says like a tournament has to be a certain score. I know the U.S. Open, they love it to be even par as your winner. But to me, I want all I'm asking for is fluctuation in the leaderboard because that's what's entertaining. That's what's exciting. Like that's why the back nine at the Masters on Sunday is so amazing because you know people can go up and down with swings all over the place. And I think this course sets up for that. I think there are some birdies out there. We saw Scheffler was up and down and up and down. He made a double bogey on 8, and then he had a stretch where he made 2 birdies in 3 holes and kind of got that back going. McIlroy, I think, as well, you know, obviously made some birdies. So I like the way it's playing. I'm okay with it being hard and okay with the fact that maybe the winner is going to be right around even par. But there are some up and down, which is really all I'm looking for on the entertainment side of it.
The wind is whipping. It seems today, from what I've seen of it, the shirts are definitely, you know, you can tell that it's windy, but the scores have held up.
I think what's impressive when it's windy like this is obviously now because the technology on the broadcast is so good that the majority of the shots have the shot tracer, and you're seeing how these guys are just able to control the ball flight and the different ways that they're bringing it in. I'm super impressed by that as one that, you know, watching them because of their great skill. So, I mean, that's something with the wind today I thought was really impressive just from everybody overall.
Bulldog said earlier today to me that he never even thought about DeChambeau for this week.
He's missed the cut in the first 2 majors this year.
One under through 6.
I felt like he wasn't even a consideration, Brian, and he's obviously played, you know, playing pretty well so far, much better than in the, you know, in the Masters of the PGA.
How close might you have gotten to DeChambeau if you were picking?
I don't think I would have picked him either.
Okay.
Upon his major performance and his irons and his distance control in the greens have been terrible this year in the majors that we've seen. I will admit I have not watched him play live, so I can't tell you if he's been better lately on that. But in the majors that we saw him play, he was terrible with his approach shots and distance control, which obviously I think is important in this event. So maybe he's gotten it turned around. I don't think if you gave me 15, I might have even gotten to Bryson.
Okay. What were his odds? Was he in that middle group, probably?
I think he was. I never really looked at his name because I never one time. He could have been fourth, like Schauffele, right? I said when I picked Schauffele, I don't really like watching this guy play. I never am rooting for him, but like he's a major, two-time major winner. I'd be an idiot not to take him in the group of, you know, the top 20 with the full payout. I never even thought about where DeChambeau was because I just knew I wasn't going to pick him. I didn't care if he was fourth or 80th.
Okay. Plus 2450
right
now.
Right. I would have had the similar mindset as well, Bulldog, with you.
How much of Scheffler did you get a chance to see?
A decent amount of his back nine. I think he's fine. I think he's doing kind of what he's done in the majors this year, which is show us glimpses of giving us thoughts, oh, this guy can win this week, and then he has a couple of mess-ups, which he in previous seasons has not. I think just he said it that coming into this week that he says he's just not as sharp as he'd like to be, but he feels like at any moment like that he can play and he can win. He feels like he's got it, but he says he's just a little less sharp than normal, and I think that's probably accurate. I know he was asked quite a bit this week about the career Grand Slam, that now Rory has gotten it from last year's Masters. Like, is that something he thinks about come to the U.S. Open? And he says he only thinks about it when he's asked about it, that he really, really thinks about it in that sense. And I mean, Scheffler's mindset has been pretty, pretty good over the years that we've seen him now come onto the stage as being the best player in the world, that he's able to, like, mentally kind of, you know, categorize where he needs to be to play well. So I probably want to take him at his word that maybe he's not thinking like there's any added pressure. I think he wants to win the Grand Slam. I think that's definitely. But I don't think it's reached the point of like McIlroy at the Masters where it was like the major story every year. Like, is he ever going to get it? Is he ever going to get it? I don't think we're anywhere near that with Scheffler yet, even though it clearly could happen this week where he could pick that off and then we'd have another player on that list.
Are you tracking it closely enough to have a feel for how well you and I are doing? So Bulldog has Schauffele. He has McIlroy. McIlroy is the betting favorite right now. Of course, that's pedigree in that he's in the clubhouse after day one at one under, which is just two back and might end up being closer to the lead than that at the end of it. A couple of his guys bombed, like Spawn and Siwoo Kim, but Scheffler, Koepka, Matt Fitzpatrick still on the course, Justin Rose, a lot of guys. He's very much live here, Brian. We have a problem.
Yeah, he's got a lot of big names that are right there. So, I mean, including Rory, who's been great. He mentioned Schauffele already.
Oberg.
You did pick Oberg, right?
Yeah, I did take Oberg. Yeah.
Minus one.
Yeah. He's steady, too. I mean, we know he's been in contention to win. He hasn't won a major, but I would echo exactly what you said yesterday. Like, it's coming at some point.
Right.
And you'd probably feel like you missed out if you didn't pick him. So I think that was probably the smart move, and probably I would have done the same, too. And he's right there too. He's a steady player that doesn't get rattled. Like this format of, hey, you're going to make bogeys, like deal with it kind of mentality when you play in an event like this. Like, I think he's right to win this event. Oberg is.
Can I bring this up with Brian, please? You and I have talked about this before. This growing trend of golfers who, after they make their putt and they get the requisite applause from the gallery, they don't even get above their belt with the wave. It's not even a wave. It's like just sort of a flip. It's just like down here, which to me is worse than not doing anything, because it's like a dismissive sort of half gesture that's bad. You don't do this, right? You played today. When you made a putt today, would you ever just only basically move your hand as if that's good enough for the people who are out there paying money to watch you play? I think that's awful.
Yeah, I think you got to reach the hand all the way up to the bill of the cap.
You got to get up here.
I think.
Yeah. Like, Koepka gets at least like to the chest. I'll take the chest. I don't need the hat. I don't need, you're waving in an airplane. I don't need anything like that. You just got to get above the belt line, or else it looks like you're just sort of telling people that you don't like them. You're just offended by them.
Yeah, you're almost mocking them at that point.
You're almost mocking them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree.
How did you play?
We played okay. It's the nine-hole men's league at Pendleton Creek on Thursday nights, but I think you have participated in it at some point in your golf career.
I bet. I was a member there.
Three mm-hmm. conditions today. I was coming to the golf course with the mentality of Scottie Scheffler and Brooks Koepka that I'm going to embrace these windy conditions today. Yeah.
Yes. Well, Brian, you don't need my advice when it comes to playing golf. You're a much better player than I have ever been. In the breeze, swing with ease. Right, Bulldog? That's what you do. In the breeze, swing with ease.
I don't know what I do anymore.
I like it. Take an extra club and do what you said. I agree with that.
You know,
I need some meatus time. I need some meatus time, and I need like a rapid weight loss or something. I think I'm falling apart physically, Brian.
Oh no!
I get my best years. I feel very much suddenly behind me.
Hmm. you're still beating your son, though. I hope, right?
No.
Oh boy.
No.
Oh boy.
We asked Brian a question about the amateur leading the Open. Now it's even gotten harder.
Brian, let me tell you, you're not that familiar with Delaware. Here's what happened at Delaware on Saturday afternoon. We're waiting to tee off on 11. There's a father and a son ahead of us. Their cart is parked past the green, and they're on the green. It's a 286-yard hole. It's a short par four. And my friend John Gale hits. I hit. There's a group of two younger guys behind us in a cart. They're waiting. And Owen is waiting because we've watched him drive the ball over this green regularly. We're like, you can't hit yet. He said, can't hit. One of the guys in the cart is like, I think it's probably safe.
Oh,
chirping,
no.
Right? We ignore him.
Oh, geez.
We ignore him. And we he said it. There was no question he said it so we could hear him. I mean, he was not just saying it to his friend. He said it so we could hear it. We ignored him. I'm not kidding you. The father and son get in the cart and drove away, and Owen hit his ball right where their cart was sitting. And I turned and just stared at these guys, and they would not make eye contact with me.
Classic.
I love it.
Passive-aggressive behavior.
He is bombing the ball, Brian. Bombing it.
Amazing. That's fun. That's a fun stage to be in where you're just hitting it so great and so far. You walk up there with confidence.
Yep.
Shame on those USDA ball rollback people that spoke yesterday about that and said they wanted to shorten everything up.
Yeah, get out of here with that.
When those two guys who wouldn't look at you the first time or the second time drove away, and what they said, he should go play somewhere else.
Right.
Go play a different golf course.
You're too good to play here.
Yeah, go play somewhere else.
All right.
Maybe you guys have a date tomorrow. I won't be here, but thanks for your time as always, Brian.
Sounds good. Bulldog, we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Brian Koziol on the West Her Hotline. Our man, Ryder Cowan, bogeyed 11, minus two.
It's already
four-way tie for the lead.
It's already happening.
Brian calls in 5 minutes later. We don't even bring his name up.
Can we live bet whether he finishes over or under par right now? Because I would bet over.
Really?
Yes. How many holes he got left?
Very disrespectful. Seven.
Oh, yeah.
You think he's going to go three over on the last seven?
Yes.
All right. I'll bet that with you.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
It's a bet.
I'll back my guy, Ryder Cowan.
Hang on. Let me go see if I can find that action in my DraftKings app. Oh, wait. It froze.
DraftKings. I'm good for it. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.